Hi, everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live. I'm Missy Matthews. Joining me today, as always on Wednesdays, is Mike Prosciutto of the DVE Morning Show and Craig Woofley of the Steelers Radio Network. Hey, guys.
How you doing, Missy?
Hello.
Anybody want to tell me what today is?
You go right ahead, Mike.
Well, we know it's not hump day. We tried that last week.
That's right. It didn't work.
So it must be Ben's day.
Yes.
Ben's day, indeed. There was a lot of panic earlier on today because quarterback Ben Roethlisberger was not in the locker room before practice. Usually that is when he talks to the media. Rest assured, though, Steelers Nation, he did come halfway through practice, and after practice, he talked to everybody in the locker room.
I had just a personal issue I had to deal with, thanks.
Small thing?
Yeah.
How do you feel about having Dwyer back?
No, it's good. It's good to have a brother back, and you know, we know that the type of player he is and the work that he puts in, so it's good to have him back.
Dwyer wouldn't criticize anything that happened in the Rush game on Sunday. But what can he bring? What can he add?
Well, he adds the Jonathan Dwyer effect. You know, he can be the best running back that he can be, and we'll see what that is this week.
How long does it take to adjust to a new center? Obviously, he has some time over the last game, but I'm sure it doesn't come as simply as just
right. Well, it is going to take some time. Get as much work as we can in. We're off to the side today in between periods trying to work on silent count and just different snaps and things. So I think if we get good work in this week, we'll be just fine.
All right, you can hear much more from Ben Roethlisberger coming up later tonight on Steelers.com. Guys, though, one thing he didn't talk about was Heath Miller, but Mike, you actually had a chance to talk to Heath after practice. Coach Tomlin alluded to the fact his workload would increase. What did he have to tell you?
Yeah, and Mike Tomlin was looking forward to seeing what Heath Miller would do today. And it's become kind of a habit for me to go to these practices and speak with Heath Miller immediately after. They're usually short conversations, but here's how today's went. Heath Miller said, and I quote, "I practiced. I did a little bit of everything. I feel good. I'm sure we'll evaluate tomorrow. I have an open mind. I'm sure we'll make a decision when the time's appropriate." And, of course, what he is talking about is Monday night in Cincinnati, Mr.
All right, let's talk a little O-line, Wolf. First, let's hear from Calvin Beecham, who, according to Mike Tomlin's depth chart that was released yesterday, he is the starting center.
You know, I knew the calls, you know, last year. You know, the more you know, the easier it helps you play your position. So it's one of those things, the better and the more comfortable you are. You know, it kind of makes your job easier. And then, you know, now that I'm at center, making the calls for everybody. You know, Ramona and David are still, we always communicate. That's something that offensive lines have to do, but you know, I'll still be making the calls, and if I'm wrong, they'll make sure they correct me to make sure we're all on the same page. I mean, it's one of those things, even if you go through your playbook like you're supposed to during the training camp and the sessions during that time, you learn the things, but like the intricate parts of protections or how a player plays or how this player plays, it's one of those things, you know, you just learn on the way and kind of learn on the run, and he's, you know, able to help us and tell us what he sees, or if he's played against a guy, you know, I probably talked to him before the game about, you know, Pico and Atkins, you know, what his take and his perspective on it, and he'll be able to give me, you know, his take, and I'll use it and run from it and go out there and apply it if I can.
Well, Fernando Velasco, the new acquisition, has more experience starting than Calvin Beecham, but not in this system, not with this team. Talk a little bit about the job that Calvin Beecham did under some tough circumstances against Tennessee and how long a transition might take for a player such as Velasco getting on what Mike Tomlin likes to call a moving train.
Well, first of all, I think right now Calvin Beecham acquitted himself pretty dadgum good in the game against Tennessee. The only criticism I had at one point was he had some of the block backs got a little bit high, but you know what? That's just repetitive work, stuff that he needs some time on. When I first watched him, in the stunning aftermath of Marquise Pouncey laying on the field, and everyone realizes, oh, this is going to take some time, he went up and took a couple snaps with Ben. And I'm telling you, the first one, Ben almost dropped. The second one, Ben did drop. So I'm sitting there going, oh, boy, because they hadn't taken any snaps together like the previous 2 weeks. He came out and did, quite frankly, a very, very good job considering the lack of PT he had at center. So I love the fact, and I think he's a smart enough young man, and he's able to be able to communicate, direct traffic, do all the things that he should be doing at the center position. What's really interesting is how is Heath going to fit into this, and what are you going to do with the tight end situation? Because any time that you take away from the tight end and backing up the other spots, you've got him at center, and you got to bring somebody else in. And you got all this time to think about where's Heath as compared to, you know, are we going to keep Beecham there for the entire season or what? Now, Fernando is here I've thought pretty highly of this dude. Watched him on tape last year. He looked like a guy, you know, he had 13 starts at center for Tennessee. He replaced a longtime Tennessee center, Eugene something or other, Mono, that's who it was. And he's also had three starts at guards. He's proven that he's NFL capable. Now, the problem is he's coming into speaking a new language. This is a whole different language system in this system for him. There's no ability right now for him to be able to run the 2 minute and things like that. So it's going to take some time to ramp up. In the meantime, Kelvin Beachum is the man, and I think very highly of Kelvin.
And conversely, if he is the guy Monday night in Cincinnati, instead of getting thrown in there 8 snaps into the game, he's getting a whole week plus a day to prepare this time around. What kind of difference will that make?
Well, it's going to be a greater comfortability. I mean, Ben's going to be able to now have a week of taking snaps with him. I mean, the very first couple series was all about, you can see him talking, get the snap up, just get the snap up. You know, everything is secondary to, like, making calls and actually blocking somebody. You know, that's not the biggest thing. Get that ball up to Ben. That's the biggest thing. Well, now they've got a week to ramp up to that. There's a security level, a comfort level, and so they'll be able to proceed forward. And for Kelvin, remember, this is a guy that went into Baltimore, M&T Bank, tough situation, Charlie Batch, a quarterback, first start at tackle, what a job he did. So I got a lot of confidence. This is a mature young man who knows how to go about preparing himself as a professional. I look forward to him taking snaps Monday night.
Before we get into Velasco a little bit more, let's take a listen to what he had to say in the locker room before practice.
Well, from the moment I walked into the building, I felt welcome. You know, I mean, this is a historic organization. You know, I never had seen a Lombardi trophy until I walked in the building. I seen 6 of them right in front of my eyes, so that was special. You know, so I'm happy to be here, and I'm just trying to do what I can for the team to win.
How do you think they'll use you?
You know, we'll see. You know, right now, the main objective, the goal is just to go out there and learn the playbook, so that's all I've just been focusing on since I've been here.
What were you doing on Sunday?
Actually, I was in church. I was in church, and then when I got out of church, my agent called me and told me devastating injury that happened to Pouncey. And then, you know, I was so right after the game, he called me and told me that he had spoken with the team and they were interested. And I was so later, you know, we set up a flight to come do a physical. So, you know, it's a blessing. You know, I'm happy to be here and just ready to get started.
Fernando, do you feel like you can get up to speed in such a short amount of time?
Thank you. Sure. Yes, I do. I do. It's a lot of the same things that we ran in Tennessee, you know, as far as the offense, it's just the terminology that's different. So, you know, I mean, for a guy like me, I've been in Tennessee my whole career. I only had the same coach, and, I mean, the offense has been always the same. So that's a little bit different terminology, but, you know, the coach is doing a real good job catching me up, and, you know, even the players, you know, it's a lot of smart guys here. You know, Ramon Foster, he's doing an awesome job of just helping me and, you know, just sticking with the playbook, getting to learn everything, getting familiarized with the code words and words that they call stuff. So, you know, just work the rest couple of days and see what happens.
Well, if worst case scenario, if Kelvin Beachum wasn't able to play center and Velasco did have to step in, how difficult is that, even with zone blocking experience, to kind of get up to par to where the Steelers are for Monday night?
You know, Missy, it's difficult because it's like speaking a new language, because every team has their own terminology and code words, as he talked about. You're not going to be able to run the 2 minute like you'd be able to run it. You're not going to be able to go no huddle and things of that nature as you would like to if you had confidence in the people who've been around and have been not on the moving train, as Mike Tomlin likes to call it, but have been here from day one and are able to get the information down. He's a capable performer, no doubt, but the problem is when you have hesitation, maybe in the terminology, that will create hesitation for you in snapping, hesitation for you in blocking, and hesitation gets you killed and gets your quarterback killed. So those were the biggest things that I would see that would be a problem.
I'll tell you one thing that's not a problem for Fernando Velasco is being here with the Steelers. He called this a great organization, and I asked him what he knew about the Steelers, why he thought it was a great organization, and he said, I'm going to paraphrase him here, I saw 6 Super Bowl trophies upstairs. I walked by those. What else do you need to say? He called the experience of actually seeing those Super Bowl trophies jaw-dropping. You know, Wolf, it's something that those of us that work in the building see them all the time. It's just part of being here. It's part of the decoration at the office. But when people come in from outside, it's kind of funny if you see them walking down that hallway next to that case and they're kind of, you know.
It is amazing to see the reaction, isn't it?
Yes. So he's a happy camper. Strange situation. He started the majority of the season for the Titans last year, wound up getting released, but you land on your feet if you can, and he believes he has.
There's no question in my mind that you understand this is a guy that is capable. I mean, he got a new guy in, and he's the $2 million guy, and he gets caught. If you're going to be a backup, you can't be a $2 million guy the way he was. And so, obviously, something had to go, and he went. And now he's got an opportunity here to do something because that center position is going to be in the mix as far as who's going to play for the rest of the year. It's not, in my mind, I mean, you're not going to have, obviously, you're not going to have Marquise back. So you've really got to make a decision. Do you go with Kelvin and let Kelvin win the job, or do you, at some point, you want to pull back with Kelvin and Fernando is comfortable. He takes over, and then you've got Kelvin in all the other positions that he plays. So that's the decision that's to be made.
All right, let's talk about the return of Jonathan Dwyer. He's listed third on the depth chart behind Isaac Redmond, Le'Veon Bell, and also Felix Jones. Bell and Redmond, of course, as co-starters. So Redmond, of course, today getting a lot of attention in the media room about what he's been doing since he left the Steelers and also if he's happy to be back.
It was, a crazy experience. I think that I was shocked, but at the same time, that's what happened. It is what it is, and all you do is move on from it, learn from it, learn from what you've learned through the whole process, and just apply it to your life. And I'm just glad to be back.
Did they talk to you about what they need out of you to put you back in kind of good standing?
They just want me to come back and play. Just play the way I play. Be consistent. And, that's what I want to do, and, I'll do whatever I have to do to help our team.
Did you come close to signing with anybody else?
There's other teams in the process, but I felt like, since I already know the playbook here, and, it would be, easier, obviously, to go back to another team and, try to learn a whole other playbook for, that week of that game. So I figured this is the best situation for me.
Now, you say you got to play the way that you play, yet at the same time, by doing that, the Steelers – felt they didn't have to keep you initially. What do you think you need to do more of?
I don't know. I mean, I just know that I know what I can do. I know what I bring to this team. I know what type of player I am. And I believe in my talents. And obviously, they still believe in me if they brought me back for a reason.
Jonathan, do you feel like you did anything wrong, maybe off the field, to put you in a position to get cut?
I don't know. I mean, I know that, my past is my past. And, if you want to judge me off my past, that's fine. But I know I'm a different person now, and that's for the rest of my career, period.
What did you do during that time when you weren't with any teams and during the trials?
I was traveling, a week of just straight traveling. I think the airport was definitely my home. I was in Florida training, still working out, and constantly staying in shape, and went to visit teams and have workouts.
Mike, yesterday we heard from Coach Tomlin, said he needs Dwyer to be dependable if he's going to see some playing time. We already asked Wolf and Labs yesterday who they would start if they were coaches. What's your take on bringing Dwyer back, and who would your starting quarterback be right now on Monday night?
Goofy's, this is going to sound, it would be that guy right there that was reintroducing himself to Big Bertha. Now, that's assuming he can make some strides in the dependability department that Mike Tomlin said yesterday he wants to see. It's not been about ability with Jonathan Dwyer. He's got rushing talent. He's got burst. He's got wiggle. Wolf, stop me when I'm wrong. This guy has a talented skill set that should be put to good use in a National Football League. From my take on the outside, at least, I have wondered personally at times how important this really is to Jonathan Dwyer. I think his getting cut sheds a little light on maybe where he needs to make some strides to really realize his full potential. And sometimes that can be the best thing that can happen to a guy. You can realize, hey, I'm not accomplishing in this game what I should be based on what I bring to the table. Why is that? And eventually you get around to the right answer. Sometimes you don't, and things don't work out maybe as well as they possibly could have. But the way the running backs are set up now, I would like Isaac Redmond in the third down role, particularly because he's number one pass pro, and I think you got to consider that right about now. I love Felix Jones, but I think he needs to be a complimentary player. I don't think he's a guy I would give the ball 25 times and expect him to hold up under that kind of pounding. So almost by process of elimination, I would go with Jonathan Dwyer and hope for the best. I don't think we've seen the best that Jonathan Dwyer has to offer yet in his Steelers, I guess, careers now.
Yeah, Michael, you said it right. Let me just say it like this. Okay, Jonathan, here's what you do. You come back with an attitude of gratitude. It takes a little bit of humility, a little bit of humbling, but it should make you hungry. And that's what he has an opportunity. The key words is he spoke them there was, My past is the past. It's now time to move on forward. And I believe those words have been spoken to him. And he understands right now, okay, whatever it is, we're not privy to that conversation. But whatever it was that got him out of here is also now the opportunity to overcome that and make something positive out of this whole thing. Because as you said, Michael, he's got the talent. He has the vision. He's got the balance. He is one of the most complete backs in those areas. The question is he all the way around a 360 dependability type guy?
Even in, I mentioned pass protection with Isaac Redman, Jonathan Dwyer would be a close second on the running back depth chart in terms of ability to pick up blitzes and be dependable. I can remember when they were hitting Big Bertha out at St. Vincent College, Kirby Wilson, the running backs coach, telling rookie Le'Veon Bell, watch Red, watch Jonathan. They know how to do this when they were working the
right.
Swing it and take on the brunt force kind of drills and things of that nature. He showed us last preseason, Jonathan Dwyer, in two-minute stuff. He knows how to catch a ball and get to the sideline and fight and clock awareness and things like that. He's a pretty good football player. He has not been a pretty good professional football player. You got to be both at this level.
He's got to button up the details. That's exactly what he's got to do.
One guy who will not be returning to the Steelers, obviously, is linebacker James Harrison, going to be wearing some different colors on Monday. Strange to see, I think, for pretty much everybody. A lot of the guys obviously talking about having to face number 92 on Monday, guys. But Coach Tomlin talked yesterday about the fact that there are things that James does that doesn't show up on the stats sheet, but he's still one of those guys that's a full force. What are you expecting from him Monday with high emotions and facing the former team who let him go?
Well, one of the things I know is he knows each player, and he also knows how to rush against a Mike Adams, how to rush against a Marcus Gilbert, how to rush against the inner three guys. He also has a pretty good idea of what the offense is all about, knows the snap count, everything else. He is also James Harrison. He is also a guy who looks at you, and there's some linemen who have been known that would blink under those circumstances. So, yes, as you can see right here, he does bring – still that threat, still that menace of being able to come in and physically manhandle you. I would expect that if you're lining up against him, okay, you better be ready. A two-chin strapper would well be a smart thing to do.
Well, if I was so eager to see how the Bengals were going to use James Harrison, I DVR'd that game and drove home after the Steeler game and watched the Bengals play the Bears. And here's what I saw. I saw James Harrison not an every-down player, and that goes for Ray Maaluga with Cincinnati as well. Vontaze Burfict is the three-down guy. They're not afraid to take either one of those guys out. They love their defensive backs. The Bengals do because they love their four-man pass rush, and they love to drop everybody in the zones, play the sticks, and then come up and tackle the catch and get you off the field that way. But I think you saw in our highlights package, Matt Forte, the Bears running back, knew James Harrison was closing in when he dropped that pass from Jay Cutler. And the one outside run, James Harrison didn't get the tackle, but he shoved the blocker 3 yards into the running lane and ended up getting penetration. So it's still very difficult to run to James Harrison's side. The wild card is what kind of maniacal mood he's going to be in playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know how we characterize that, but it's going to be high drama.
It's going to be fun to watch.
I am going to enjoy every second of it, yeah.
Well, Brett Kiesel said in the locker room that he does not anticipate James talking to any of them, showing any kinds of emotion. So he said maybe they'll text them after the game either way. But we want to take a listen to what Ryan Clark had to say about facing Harrison.
You know, I see James all summer, though. I see that ugly mug all year. You know, so for me, it won't be as exciting, but I'm just worried about, you know, beating the Bengals. You know, James, I don't have to block him. I don't have to play against him, so I don't really care. You know, I'm hoping that he has a awful game. I hope that he doesn't make any plays, and I want us to win. But far as that, 14 weeks out of the year, he can play great.
Ryan Clark looking a little, I don't want to say overconfident, but I think at ease with the way things went on Sunday, guys. And good vibe in the room today.
No question.
Certainly nobody's real thrilled with the way that Tennessee game went, but I don't think it was the iceberg to the Titanic that it's been perceived to be by some of the people that I hear from on Twitter.
There's no question about it. Look, just stay in your groove, stay fundamentally sound. You can turn it all around in one win.
All right, well, that will do it for us today here on Steelers.com Live. For Mike and Wolf, I'm Missy. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again here tomorrow at 4 o'clock.